Blog Talk Radio.
That
I have that for that. I've got one pitcher who has, I think, gone into the dead arm stage. He's just pitched too many innings over the last couple of years. He's just tired, and that's Sonny Gray. His last three games, he's got a 7.04 ERA, a 2.02 WHIP, and only 10 walks, 10 strikeouts in 15 innings. Now, Sonny Gray, I think he's just he's a little too tired, or maybe a little bit disinterested because the A's have no shot. But Sonny Gray is, for being one of the best pitchers in baseball over the first 3 months, he is not throwing well anymore.
I think he won last night, didn't he Bobby?
He pitched six pretty good innings last night.
Last night was his win. But he's still last three starts, his ERA, even with one good start, his last three, 7.04.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, there are a lot of pitchers out there with dead arms right now. That is definitely the truth. I won't argue that point with you. And Hondo, what are you looking at right now in the MLB?
Well, I'm looking at that wild American League wild card race. You got the Angels a half a game behind the Astros, and Minnesota one and a half behind the Astros, and a game behind the Angels. So it's and you got Cleveland and Baltimore on the peripheral there, which I think they would have to win out to have a chance. But I think it's mainly between Houston, the Angels, and Minnesota, and it's going to be wild, I think, right down to the end.
Well, I got to tell you, neither one of those two teams, Houston and or the Angels, are impressing me right now. I think Houston, the wheels are just about ready to fall off of that cart. But and, you know, you guys know how I feel about the Angels. But interestingly enough, that looks like it's going to come down to the wire. As I like to say, two cow horse spreads going a mile and 3/8 over the turf course, because neither one of them look like they want to finish. And but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Bobby, what do you has your thoughts or opinion changed in that race? Who are you picking to get to the wild card?
Well, picking to get to the wild card, I would have picked the Twins, but last night was a golden opportunity, and they let the Tigers beat them. So it's like, well, who wants this thing? It really is. The Astros don't want it. Now, I really don't know. The Astros are the team I least likely expect to do it. The team I expected to win it was the Twins. You know, and now I actually think Baltimore or Cleveland could win out and take it from all of them, because you've got – this is winning time. There is no, you know, there's no other choice. You win. You just, period, you win. And if you're not winning now, I mean, you've got no hope. That's my thought. I while they are outside looking in right now, Baltimore and Cleveland, I really think you have an opportunity because you've just got to win. And for some reason, Minnesota's feeling a collar right now, and the Angels are just spotty. But to me, the Angels have the team, but not the pitching.
Well, the Angels, let me tell you, the Angels are of those three teams, the Angels are playing the best. They went into Minnesota. They took 3 out of 4. They went into Houston.
Right.
They went into Houston. They took 2 out of 3. And now they beat Seattle last night. These next two games for the Angels, they got Hernandez tonight, and they got Iokuma pitching against them tomorrow night. That's two tough pitchers they're going to have to beat. And then on, Friday, next Wednesday, Sonny Gray scheduled to pitch against him. And they have historically had problems with Sonny Gray. So that's three tough pitchers they're going to have to face in the next five games. If they can get through that patch, if they go into Texas next Thursday leading the wild card race, they're going to have, I think, a pretty good shot, because Houston right now is like a deer in a headlight. They are a good young team. I guess you got George Springer, you got Correa, you got Altuve, you got Lance McCullers, you got that pitching staff, but none of them have been in a race, and
that's
they're
right.
Struggling, and they don't know what to do.
I don't think their manager knows what to do either.
I just think that they need some experience, and this experience going through this year is going to help them. You're going to hear from that team the next few years. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with.
They needed an Albert Pujols in their lineup, or they needed somebody like Yadier Molina. They needed somebody at catcher, somebody that blues.
They needed an Adrian Beltre or a Prince Fielder or somebody who's been through these races before.
I mean, and all the great teams have veteran presence.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Bobby, I know you're itching to get going, and with your Bobby's Corner and your Lark of the Week, so let's get started a little early today, and we're going to go out to Santa Anita, which is opening day. We got some great racing out there today, folks. First post is 12:30. Get on out there and, get your horse racing your face on, and head on out. And we're going to give you a play today that we like, and it's in the second race with number 2, CC Zip. This is a horse that is making her fourth career start, was highly regarded, taking her a little while to get going, but we think that the change in surface, she's been working a little bit better over Santa Anita, and she's going to be trying the Santa Anita dirt for the first time. So if you're heading out to the track or just want to pick up the phone, call your neighborhood friend. Couple of bucks to win a place on number 2, CC Zip, today at Santa Anita in the second race. And Hondo, do you like anything out at the track?
Well, we're thinking a lot along the same lines. I like that horse too in my selections in the paper tomorrow or today. Okay. I have him as my best bet. So I'll give out another horse that I like. Not as much, but he's a better price. Native Treasure in the 6 going down the hill with Corey Nakadani, who's a good turf rider. He's 8-1, and I think he's going to give a good effort today down the hill, and I think he's a good horse to use in your exotics and your tries and what have you.
All right. Okay, we're going to get a head start here so we can get back after our first and only break. And give Boppy a little extra time to get his cardigan sweater on with his two elbow patches, get his pipe lit, and when we come back from our break, we're going to go to Boppy's Corner, and he's going to give us a little bit extra of what is going on in the sports world, and we'll also have some free pigskin plays for you when we come back. This is your cue. Go refresh your beverage of choice, and we'll be right back shortly with more Keeping Score with Bobby.
It's on. Well, now me and Homer Jones and Big John Talley had a big crap game going back in the alley. And I kept rolling them 7 and winning all them pots. My luck was so good, I could do no wrong. I just kept on rolling and controlling them bones. Finally, they just threw up their hand and said, when you hot, you hot. I said, yeah.
When you're hot, you're hot. And when you're not, you're not.
Behind me, I turned around and there was a big old car. He said, hello, boys. Then he gave us a grin and said, look like I'm gonna have to haul y'all in and keep all that money for evidence. I said, well, son, when you hot, you hot. He said, yeah,
when you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not.
You can clean it all down at City Hall. I said, yeah, when you're hot, you're hot.
Alright, sports fans, we're back. Bobby, quick question for you. When was the last time When was the last time you were in a big dice game?
Big dice game? That would have been about 20 years ago, or 22 years ago. I was at Lake Tahoe. I think my father was still alive, and he was there, and he's the one that kind of taught me about dice. And I didn't do well, but my father, all he did at the dice table was win and win and win. And one time my father made 23 straight passes, and while he was at the table, and a guy that was there with him was Colonel Sanders, and Colonel Sanders was betting on my father the pass line each time, and won a fortune on my dad. And then when he was done, he acted like he was giving my father a tip, and he says, "Here, son, this is for you." And it was like his scraps from a coin roll. You know, it was just little pieces of paper, and my father threw it in his face, saying, "You know, don't give me your garbage, don't give me your garbage." And then the security guards were there to break it up right away. But that was the last big dice game.
That's a true story.
That's a true story.
All right. Well, I knew I didn't like KFC for some reason. Maybe that's what it is.
We just know that the Colonel's a stinker. Was a stinker. He's no longer with us.
Yeah. Well, so was his chicken, but we won't go there.
Okay.
All right, Bobby. Go ahead, and we're in your corner. We're sitting down on the floor. You've got your cardigan sweater on. You've got your pipe lit. Take us to Bobby's corner.
Well, in picking my lock this week, I had a real struggle. But I got a question for Hondo right now. Hondo, the line at BYU, when they're at the Big House, they've got BYU as a 6-point dog to Michigan. I got to ask you, you've seen BYU play UCLA. What do you think of that line?
Has it got up to 6?
It's at 7.
Yeah, it was
right
last.
Wow. See, that surprises me because, well, you know, that's a tough game to figure. You got BYU coming off a real tough loss to UCLA, emotional loss.
Right.
And they're going in to play in a tough a place that's historically tough to win. I mean, not many visiting teams go in and win at Michigan. But Michigan, the last couple of years, has been down. I mean, they had a down year last year. They're rebuilding.
Yeah.
They're not back yet, even though they got Jim Harbaugh as their coach. But they're going into that game, they're feeling good about themselves. They won 2 games in a row. They got the home. That's a tough game to figure. I wouldn't touch it.
Oh. Well, anyway, I won't be, I can't make it my lock because of my blue-colored glasses. But I got to tell you, BYU is 3-0 versus the spread this year, and this +6 to me is way too much. I mean, I think the right amount would have been Michigan by a point or two. That would have been the right spread. That would have made it an untouchable game for me. But anyway, that's one. But I had a trouble picking between Missouri, Kentucky, where Kentucky's favored by 2.5, the Utah-Oregon game, where Oregon is favored by 10.5, and the USC-ASU game, where USC is favored by 5.5. I had a real trouble with those three. I think Utah is way underrated right now, and I think Utah is going to, if they don't win that game outright, they're going to scare Oregon to death today. The other one is Missouri has won 2 or 3 straight, at least one half of the SEC conference title, and I don't think Kentucky is ready to step up with the big boys yet. I know Missouri's not quite what they have been, but I think when the final score, Missouri's going to beat Kentucky and the spread. But my lock of the week, and this is partly in honor of the best ESPN college feature I have seen in a long time, is USC ASU. Sagarin would put this game at about a 12 point margin for SC, and there you only have to give 5.5. So my lock of the week is SC at ASU. I pick the Trojans to win that one by at least 6.
Bobby, did you see the Trojan defense last week?
I know, and they gave up the Hail Mary last year to ASU, but they're improved and improving. They're going to get better.
I could not bet on that defense. Stanford just shredded that team. shredded them.
All right.
Dan,
Bobby
Dan
writes, folks, 395, 396. We have USC traveling to the desert, Arizona State. USC is a 5.5-point favorite over the Arizona State Sun Devils. And Boppy likes to play on 395, the Trojans, USC. Boppy is going to lay 5.5. Is that correct, Bobster?
You bet. You bet. That's exactly right.
All right. Okay. Our hopes are going to be carried by the Trojans. And let's just hope that Sarkisian or whatever the hell his name is can let's just say that he's got his wits about him and win, lose, or draw. Be real careful on that flight home, coach, because we all know what it did to the last guy went back there to Arizona. So anyway, folks, Boppy's Lock of the Week, 395, USC Trojans laying 5.5. I'm going to go out to the Big A tonight and give you number 977, the Seattle Mariners, at minus a -105. Both sides are at a -105. This is basically a pick game, or as close as you can get to it. Depending on where you do your shopping, I suggest to play a 977, the Seattle Mariners, at minus $1.05. Take Felix Hernandez over the promising rookie tonight. And I think that, let's just say that I don't have as much faith as the Angels continuing their run. I think that they lose tonight at home. Versus Felix, and that's how I see it. Hondo, what are you thinking? Do you have any good sports plays?
Well, I'm trying to get off the snide this weekend, and I like a three-team NFL teaser, taking the line and teasing it 6 points either way. And my teaser this weekend on Sunday, Houston plus +0.5. Carolina minus -1, Arizona plus +0.5.
All right. So let's go ahead here and get to the – okay, what was the first game?
Houston.
Okay. And Hondo's teaser will be 466 Houston. And what's the other one?
I think it's 470 Carolina.
Yeah. For 469, New Orleans, the Saints traveling to Carolina. So Hondo is suggesting 470 Carolina.
And the third one is 482 Arizona.
Okay. The Cardinals play very well at home traditionally. San Francisco have no clue what in the hell is going on with that team right now. And Hondo is suggesting 482 Arizona, and that's his teaser for the weekend, which is, of course, tomorrow. All right. Well, that's obviously quite a bit of free plays, folks. Good luck with what you're going to do with our advice and, of course, your own advice. And good luck with your plays. And, gentlemen, we have about 6 minutes. So let's go ahead and open it up and talk.
Hondo, the least effective sign I've seen at one of these college game days rallies they have was just at the Arizona campus where they're going to play UCLA tonight. The worst sign I've ever seen said John Wooden is overrated.
Obviously, a disgruntled, probably a team that got their, you know, wets kicked by John Wooden and UCLA on a regular basis.
I don't know how you can say that. I got to tell you, I don't have a lot of respect for a lot of the young gamblers out there who he's probably a big fan of the war numbers too. So he obviously doesn't know quite a bit of
You know, guys, I want to we've heard quite a bit the last few days, but Yogi Berra, who was just a delight. I mean, his brilliance on the field, and he was arguably one of the best two catchers to ever play the game. His brilliance on the field is actually overshadowed by all the funny yogiisms that he said. And you've heard the, if you come to a fork in the road, take it. It's deja vu all over again. But I got two favorites that aren't as common as the ones you've heard from Yogi. One of them was, and I love this one, always go to your friends' funeral, otherwise they won't go to yours. That's number one. And number two was, Yogi went 4-for-4 one day, and the next day in the box score, it had him only going 3-for-4. And Yogi's going, what the heck? And he calls up the official scorer, and he goes, hey, I was 4-for-4 last night. And the official scorer tells Yogi, hey, that was a typographical error. And Yogi says, bull crap, that was a clean single up the middle.
Now, are those true? I mean, okay. Do you think
Yogi's mind, do you think
he made some of those up, or do you think those were...
No, those were Yogi. And another one was a lady saw him in a new suit one day, and she goes, boy, you look cool. And he goes, thanks, lady, you don't look so hot yourself. So, you know, I think it's just, it was just Yogi. You know, just stuff that came out of Yogi's mouth. And
wow.
He was unpretentious, and it was the thing that was made it endearing. It was always real. He never meant to hurt anybody, and he never really meant to dispute anyone. It was real. It was who he was. But I've known a lot of people where their mouths work faster than their minds, and with Yogi, that's really what it was. His mouth was ahead of his mind, and he just went there, but there was never any malice in it. Wouldn't you say that, Art? There was never any malice in Yogi.
No. Oh, definitely no. You know, I don't think anybody ever say a bad thing about Yogi, and there'll never be another Yogi. And he left us so many great memories. Lived a long, good life, 90 years, and he was a treasure. He'll be missed, but for certain, he'll never be forgotten.
And he's not
with stories like that. That's for sure.
Well, he's another great man who had a great wife, and he was gone within a year of the time she passed. So I mean, you know, he did. I think he was a much better baseball man, a much sharper baseball intellect than he ever got credit for, because of the yogiisms. And I think had he played or been a manager in some place other than New York, I think he might have become iconic. He might have been like an institution, a 25-year guy who might have won 5 or 6 pennants. But because he was in New York, that sophistication, they really couldn't take Yogi Berra, not in an executive position.
Yeah, no, he was definitely, you know, well before my time, but I heard a lot of humorous stories and things with him, involving him, he'll be missed, no doubt about it. It's that time of the morning where we, of course, thank everybody for tuning in, whether it be live or archived. Don't forget, we'll be back next week, same time, same place. And Hondo, thank you for joining us this morning.
All right, guys, take care.
Poppy, it's that time. Go ahead and say it.
Well, be safe, be careful, and God bless you, and God bless Yogi Berra. We'll see you next week, Lord willing.
All right, folks, good luck with your wagers today. And don't forget, first post out at Santa Anita today is 12:30. And go on out and give them heck out at the racetrack. May all your bets be winning ones, and we hope to see you in the cashier's line.